You're good? Okay. We're recording. I wanted to make sure this gets recorded. We're kicking off a 40-day campaign today called Time to Dream. I even have a PowerPoint. I got some of the points from Rick Warren, who put together the outline, and then I added some things that I think are pertinent for us as a church. But as we were looking at just ways that God's worked in the past, I was thinking of testimonies and things that God has done. I remembered a funny story. I wanted to share it with you. Back when we were in Amherst, Massachusetts, we had a church, and some college kids were ministering to a guy who had kind of an alcohol problem. They came to me and said, would you go, like, visit him? And I went to visit him a few times and would preach to him and share with him. And then he came to church one day, and we had an open mic like we did this morning. And he didn't go forward, but he just stood up right where he was in a room about this size or so, and he goes, I just want to say that Dave Hill is the greatest gospel preacher ever. And he said, he's delivered me from smoking twice. And then in his pocket, bulging out, was this big pack of butts. So I just kind of waved at everybody and said, yeah, that's me. Move over, Billy Graham. So that was good. Okay, we're going to pray. How many of you would like to have God-given dreams that you can fulfill in your life? Yeah, I think we all would. So let's pray for that. Father God, we commit ourselves to you this morning. I pray you would help me share your word in a way that produces faith in us. Please speak to us. Please enlarge our thinking. Father, stir us by your spirit, by your word, so that we can accomplish things that you want us to accomplish in life. And we pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? All right. So let's go. We ready with our PowerPoint up here? Dun, 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 dun. All right, I'm going to have to tell another story. We've got it? Oh, I thought you were saying yes, that it's there. The first point that will come up, they'll get this. God's dream for your life is far bigger than your dream for yourself. Do you believe that? Okay, there's a scripture that I can read to you. This is from the Message translation. Ephesians 3 says, God can do anything you know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Does that sound good? Okay. A lot of translations say he does exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. But I really love how the Message puts it, that it's his spirit pushing us gently. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't push us around. He works within us. He looks for our cooperation, right? God doesn't make you follow Jesus. You have to cooperate. You have to choose that, all right? So here we go. Time to dream. Maybe, Charlie, you could shut these front lights off. It'd show up better. Trusting God to open doors. This is a 40-day focus for spiritual growth that we do together to fulfill God's vision for us. Thank you. All right, let's go to the next one. This is the scripture that I gave you. God could do anything you know far more than you could ever imagine or guess. So that's our basis. That's what we're believing, okay? Can you still get these lights off for me? There we go. Thank you. All right, let's go to the next one. Dreams are God-given vision, inspiration, desires, and goals. So I put God-given. Sometimes we dream about things. My daughter went to law school at Boston College, and it's up in this nice part of Newton. And sometimes if I would drive her along, or Ingrid and she would go along, they'd look at the houses they want to buy. You know, like, oh, that house would be really nice. Oh, it'd be really great to have that one. You know, they cost like $5 or $10 million. Okay, that's a kind of dreaming. Or when I got a car, I bought a nice Chevy Malibu, but I was looking at the Corvettes, okay? I thought, wow, it would be really great to drive one of these, $100,000. I said, no, I guess not. No, we're talking about dreams that are from God, right? Or like from Scripture, something that honors him. And God gives you that. So there's a scripture that goes with this. When you follow God's dream, no, go back. When you follow God's dream, he arranges the circumstances. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Do you believe that? Okay, we prayed for our brother over in Turkey today. You know, he's been detained, released again. We pray for God's will to be done. If God wants someone to be free from jail, they'll be free. Peter was in jail, and they had him chained to another guard, and an angel appeared, and the chains fell off, and the doors opened, and he went out. And so when God wants someone to be free, he definitely knows how to do it. But the church was praying for him. It's our job to pray. So we did the right thing by praying for God's will to be done. All right, next. This is your first fill-in, number one on your sheet. God gave me the capacity to dream. Genesis 1, God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness. God is very creative. You're made in his image. You can dream things. You can create things. You can do new things. Next point. Without a dream, what happens? You're dying, okay? King James says, without a vision, the people perish. We need something that motivates us, all right? If you've ever been discouraged, or some people suffer from depression, it's like when they get up, they don't have the energy to, like, do something that day. And so when you have a vision, when you have a purpose, it energizes you. Okay, the next one. Everything starts with a dream. Paul prayed for the Ephesians, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share. So God has a future for each one of us. We could have put up there Jeremiah 29 says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Look at what Jesus said. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what? What he sees the Father doing. So Jesus had a vision, which was, what God shows me to do, I do. Well, that should be our vision. So we get that, one, because God's word tells us how to live. So that's a vision for my life. Secondly, the Holy Spirit guides us, inspires us, and gives us things to do that are from him. So that's how Jesus lived his life. Okay, the next one. Dreams show what God wants to do through me. Acts 26, 19. This is Paul towards the end of Acts. He's been starting churches all over what's now Asia Minor. He's in jail. He's appearing before the king. And what he shares, he tells them his personal testimony. He tells the king and this governor, Felix, what he did before he knew Christ, how he met Christ on the road to Damascus. There's a light from heaven. He's blinded. And he just tells them that. And he said, Jesus spoke to me. He goes, King Agrippa, I have not proved disobedient to the heavenly vision. That inspires me. God gave Paul some very specific instructions about you're going to preach the gospel to the Gentile, non-Jewish people. And he said, I did it. And he told non-believers that. So it shows us what God wants us to do. Genesis, the reason the dream is given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. God showed Daniel what was going to happen in the nation of Egypt. All right, the next thing a dream does is a dream keeps me growing. Can you guys all see the scripture, okay? Okay, let's read this together, all right? Here we go. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take a view of such things. So Paul's laying out something here. When you think of Paul, you think of somebody who's like way up there spiritually, right? He's kind of like at another level. But he's saying, look, guys, I'm not perfect yet. So I am pressing on in my faith toward the call of Jesus Christ in my life. And all of us who are mature should have this attitude. So do you have that attitude? Yes or no? Yes. A few of you are mature this morning, okay? Hopefully by the end of the sermon, you'll have that attitude. Pressing on. I love that idea. The idea of pressing on. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be a person who presses on with Jesus. I'm 62 years old, and I have a goal to press on more this year than last year. And when I'm 70, I want to press on. Some of us know Terry Virgo founded our family of churches, New Frontiers. He just turned 80. He's not quite as busy as he used to be, but he's still traveling around preaching. He's going to come to Portsmouth in July. He's going to come to Boston and speak to us. He's pressing on. Praise God. All right, next. A dream focuses my energy. Does that sound true? Yeah, absolutely. Paul said, I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. See, if you want to be an accomplished person in any field, if you want to be an accomplished musician, you want to be a good athlete, what do you have to do? Practice. Self-discipline. You have to be focused, okay? You have to think about what you eat, how much you sleep, how often you work. So your dream is giving you energy to attain a goal. So we want to have goals that are from God that energize us. Amen? All right, good. A dream stretches my faith. So Jesus touched the eyes of the blind men. He said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. What was their faith? They came out and said, Jesus, Master, save us, heal us. But Jesus likes that. You know, Ed this morning felt prompted by the Holy Spirit. What's a mountain in your life? Ask God to remove it. So if you responded to that, Jesus likes that. He likes it when people come to him with mountain-sized problems. He said, okay, according to your faith. So our struggle is we don't believe that God really wants to answer my problem. Maybe it's gone on for a long time. Maybe you've been struggling with something for years. Well, that would kind of indicate you think, well, maybe God doesn't care. But Jesus tells us to persevere, to keep praying, to keep asking. You're in a family of believers where we will pray with you. We won't say, well, too bad, I guess that's just the way it is. We say, no, okay, let's pray that God intervenes. Are you with me? Okay, and we want to do that for each other. Oh, get back there. You skipped. There we go. I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Who said that? There was a father who had a son who was plagued with a demon, and the demon made him stiff, threw him into the fire, threw him into, like, water to try and drown him. The demon was trying to kill him. And he went to Jesus' disciples, and they couldn't cast the demon out of him. And the guy said to Jesus, well, Lord, if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus said, if I can do so, all things are possible to those who believe. Wow. See, that's something that God has to keep working in our hearts. Because we're like this guy. We're like, well, if you can do something, help my unbelief. So when we aim for big things, when we take the promises of God to heart, it's going to stretch our faith. Because things don't happen in our timing, and we're like, God, what's going on? And that's stretching our faith. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Now, another point. A dream keeps me going in tough times. This is Job. This is when he's afflicted with all these, you know, diseases. He's lost everything. I do not have the strength to endure. I do not have a goal that encourages me to carry on. And it's the same with us. If we don't have a goal, if we're not aiming for something, we lose strength. So a dream will keep you going. The next thing a dream will do is it inspires others to dream. Proverbs says this, if your goals are good, you'll be respected. People will recognize it. Like, oh, is there someone you admire and you would like to be like them? Yes. We all have people that we admire. And it's good to want to be like them. So your life can be an inspiration to someone else. This is Jesus talking to Peter. He says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So Jesus had a vision for Peter's life, right? You're going to be one of my disciples. What did he do? They pulled their boats on shore. They left everything and followed him. They were inspired. So we want to be inspired by what Jesus calls us to do in life. All right, next. My self-discipline will be rewarded in heaven. So we talked about being focused. So if you are an athlete and you practice 2 hours a day after school every day, that's 2 hours you can't play video games. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's tough. You're practicing the piano, your flute, whatever it is. That you could be doing something else, but you're harnessing yourself and you're focusing on something. So we can get tired of that. So our self-discipline, according to Scripture, is rewarded in heaven. So Paul again said, all athletes practice self-control. They do it to win that prize that will fade away. We do it for an eternal prize. So during this 40 days, I'm going to talk in a minute a little bit more about, let's actually do some things we haven't been doing. Let's focus. Let's put some energy into doing new things that will help us grow spiritually. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, you have to believe that there's a reward for that, because there might be other things you feel like doing that you like doing, but you say, no, I'm going to actually focus my attention more on God these next 40 days, on Scripture. Can somebody give me an amen for that? All right, good. You'll have an award. What did Jesus say? If you pray in secret, your heavenly Father who sees you pray in secret will reward you. Those are the words of your Lord. All right. God-given dreams are a gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's read this scripture together too. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So that's a great promise. That's a promise I pray for us as a church. Because we see in Scripture that people were empowered by the Holy Spirit on more than one occasion. They were empowered at different times to do different things. All right, how many young people do we have here? If you're under the age of 21, like, wave at me. Okay, we got a few people who are young. We got some liars in the back. That's okay. If you're young at heart, that's good. Okay? God's promise is you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's not a respecter of age. It's not like, well, when I'm older. No. Right now, you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I want you to believe that. I want you to pray that for yourself. I'm praying it for you. I'm praying it for the older people, too, because we really need power, right? We're running out of human energy. Okay, so we definitely need the Holy Spirit's power. This happened. We had a meeting right here in this room with City Church, and it was a Holy Spirit meeting. Sometimes we have meetings, praise, worship, pray to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. One of my granddaughters was like 11 years old. We prayed with her. She prayed in tongues, 11 years old. God gave her that gift. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. They're gifts, all right? They're for young and old. You don't have to wait until you're a certain age. Praise God. All right. Here's one of my points. We can dream big because we serve a big God, all right? God is all-powerful. We had an example last week where God sent 12 spies into the Promised Land. The Promised Land was great, very fruitful, beautiful country. There were crops and orchards and grapevines, and it looked great, but there was a problem. There were fortified cities. There were people already living there. There were people who are of giant size. And 10 spies came back and said, like, hey, we can't do this. They gave a bad report. 2 spies said, no, we can do it. God's with us. God will give us the land. And so I'm always trying to challenge us. Let's be like Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who believe God could do it. Why? Because God's big. So we have to keep our eyes on God and his greatness, his power, if we're going to accomplish big things, all right? A God-sized dream is one that you cannot accomplish by your own strength and efforts. It requires the power and intervention of God to fulfill. So if you ever attempted something that was bigger than you, some of you maybe have. Maybe you were given a project to do in school and it felt too big. Or maybe you got an idea for an outreach, but it kind of felt intimidating. But we went ahead with it. God will come to your aid and make things happen. And that's what we're banking on, okay? So this 40 days, we want to go deeper with God. We want to have a focus. So do any of you like doing jigsaw puzzles? You know, picture puzzles. And so I like doing puzzles. My daughter gave me a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. Have you ever done a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle? All right. It's a little bit overwhelming when you start, right? Because you like pour out all the pieces. It takes like 15 minutes just to turn the pieces over. And then like the sky or the grass all looks identical. So you're thinking, how am I going to figure out which pieces go together? So what happens? You start staring at the pieces, and you get the box. You kind of look at the box, and then you stare at the pieces. And as you focus, all of a sudden, you will notice differences. Some of the sky pieces are darker blue than the others, and you put those together, and you get a few pieces to fit together. It's the same way when we focus our eyes on God. We'll see more. The more we focus, the more we'll become like Joshua and Caleb. We begin to see things about God. We begin to get faith for our circumstances because we're seeing more of what God can do. Our unbelief, our doubt, our anxiety is produced by not believing God can do what he says he can do. But it takes focus. So that was just a practical thing that happened for me. I thought, yeah, this has a spiritual lesson to it. So I would encourage you to, in the next 40 days, spend more time reading the Bible. Pray more. Maybe go for a walk at lunchtime and pray for 10 minutes. God, I want to see more of you. I want to have vision from you. I want to have increased faith. I'm praying for myself to have a bigger faith. That's one thing I'm going to pray for the next 40 days. Lord, I want a larger faith in what you can do. Memorize scripture. There's scriptures every week on your outline. Do you ever memorize one? Well, I don't know. If you don't, this is your opportunity. Memorize a scripture or two every week. Shut off your TV, right? How many of you have a Christian book that you bought or somebody gave to you that you haven't read yet? Okay, probably every single one of us, okay? In the next 40 days, read one of those books. You see what I'm saying? Let's just do some things that we haven't been doing in order to focus ourselves. Let's be praying for each other every day, okay? Make sure you attend the small group because the small group will keep you focused. And I'm really happy to report that pretty much everybody in our church signed up for a small group. So praise God. That will give us a greater power because we're all studying the same thing. Maybe you want to fast. Skip some meals, fast for a day. Skip, like I said, maybe you want to give up television or movies or something for 40 days. Whatever that helps you focus and spend more time seeking God. All right, here's some examples of how God inspires us. When you press into God, you'll be inspired. Okay? So I don't know how Janine and Michelle got the idea of writing note cards and sending people notes, but it's a great idea. And we just heard Michelle testify now her rabbi neighbor is going to come to the note-writing party. All kinds of things happen. Janine has a good friend who's very secular. She came. She loved it. She loved hanging around Christians. So just that opportunity to connect with people. The reason we're working at the youth center every Tuesday doing an after-school program is because Steph Chambers noticed the youth center had been closed for a couple years. She said, we should do something about that. So she got a vision to try something new. It took effort. It stretched our faith. It didn't happen right away. We had to go through a lot of hurdles. But now it's going great. The skating that we just did last night at the Warrior Ice Arena, Peter's not, we had like 50 or 60 people. It's the most people we've had. I didn't do any skating. I spent almost 2 hours just talking to people, coming in and out, going in. I saw people from Brighton I hadn't seen in years. It was amazing. The guy who used to inspect our guest street location, we had something that was 24/7. He came with like his son or his grandson. He goes, "Oh, hey, Dave, do you remember me?" I'm like, "Oh, hi, how you doing?" I didn't recognize him. Haven't seen him in like 10 years. That was great. What's another God-given dream that's happened? Terry got a dream to do a fitness class down the hall at 1 o'clock. She did it. 25 people signed up. That was great. Those are just simple examples. Those are the kind of things we're talking about. It can be anything, but have a dream for you to grow in your personal walk with God. Be in prayer about relationships, maybe somebody in your family, somebody at work, somebody at school. Who knows? As you're seeking God, God, I believe, will inspire you. So here's something that I had a dream for that's happening. Those of you know, Your Options Medical is a pregnancy center. We have 3 pregnancy centers and a mobile unit that does ultrasounds. We serve women with unplanned pregnancies, and we help them. We'll do whatever it takes to help them choose life. I had a vision, like, what can we do to get more young people involved in that ministry? So I thought, hey, what about a worship night? Young Christians love worship nights. So we'll have a worship night. We'll do a little short preaching on a vision for pro-life ministry. These are ways you can serve at Your Options, get involved, give some money tonight. We figured out the number of women we've served. I think we did almost 500 ultrasounds last year. And that probably is like a couple $100,000 worth of free medical services that we gave to women. So those of you who donated money last month, thank you. Like, we're helping people. We're helping lots of people. So I was thinking maybe I can get, there's a church in Cambridge, Hilltop Church. They like me. They really like being pro-life, and they want to see abortion ended. So I asked if their worship team would help out. They said, "We'd love to help, Dave." So we tried to get their hall. And I thought, if we get 100 to 200 people, that would be fantastic. Well, it just didn't work out. Then I tried to get the Catholic prep school down the street. That didn't work out. They're my friends, but they couldn't help us in May. So then Daryl Temple, the pastor of Hilltop, said, "Why don't we try and get Lion of Judah Church?" So I called over there. Again, there were some mix-ups, but Roberto Miranda, the pastor, called me back. Goes, "Of course, Dave, you can use our sanctuary." Their sanctuary holds about 700 people. So if we only have 100 to 200 people, it's going to feel like really small. So now it's like, uh-oh, God's starting with me, right? Dave, you have to dream bigger. Your faith has to get stretched. You have to inspire more people with your dream. And the fact is, there are a lot of people who are being inspired. So we think we have a Catholic worship band that has a big following. Their leader can make it. He's going to check with my band members to see if they can all come on May 9th. So now I'm believing for 300 to 400 people to come. All right? Well, maybe it'll be bigger than that, right? God might do beyond what I'm asking or thinking. But do you see how it works? That was just a simple thing. God is challenging me. All right, last point. The one God-sized dream we can all have is what? To be like Jesus. Wouldn't it be great to be more like Jesus? I mean, just think what Jesus was like. The love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the power of Jesus. How many of you believe in Jesus and are following him? Yes, okay. Well, you're called to be like him. What did he say? The student is not above the teacher. Everyone who's fully trained will be like their teacher. Hallelujah. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for what? Good. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. That is a really strong word. God's predestined you for something. What? To be conformed to the image of his son. Wonderful. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you can be like Jesus. Okay? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you can be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So, there's a scripture on your outline. The fruit of the Spirit. Can we get the worship team back up for our closing song? All right. The fruit of the Spirit. How many of you have ever gone apple picking? Okay, you just go out there, and there's trees. And are the trees groaning, trying really hard to produce apples? No. If it rains and there's sunshine, they will naturally produce apples. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is for people who love Jesus, and they learn to surrender to him, right? There is some effort involved on our part. But this is the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, oh, rats, have crucified the flesh. All right. He had to throw that in there. There's a part of you that has to die. The flesh with its passions and desires, but then what comes up? Love. I don't know about you. I could use more love in my life. Wouldn't you like that your first reaction to somebody isn't critiquing them and judging them and wondering if you like them or not, but you just loved them? Wouldn't that be great? Joy. That joy is like in your heart every morning. Joy when you come here to worship, you're like, yes! There's joy in Jesus Christ. Peace. Anybody anxious last week? Yes, probably. Don't we want the peace that passes all understanding to guard our hearts, to guard our minds? Well, that's what God says you're predestined for. But you have to learn to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to learn to allow him to work that into your life. He will. That's what's going to happen the next 40 days. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are at work in our lives. You inspire us. You give us dreams. You give us vision. You give us purpose. So we want to really grow. Lord, we want to have greater vision, greater faith. We don't want to have, like, just aiming for small things. We want to aim for things that are big. So I pray, Father, you would impart faith to all of our hearts. You would enable us to see you for who you are. Holy Spirit, we ask you to give us dreams and ideas that are from you for ourselves, for where we work, where we live, for our church, for our city. Father, I pray with my brothers and sisters that this Delmore Worship Band can perform on May 9th in Jesus' name. And that we'll see like four or